It's Monday, the 20th of October, and here is your premium message. Well, the story about General Mkhwanazi being the hero of all is starting to unravel and unravel quickly. A fabulous interview with Dr. Redpath on Friday certainly turned my head. She reckons it's a little bit like a preemptive strike by Mkhwanazi, given that his two very close allies are both, well, both have been arrested. That's the chief of police, the commissioner of police, and the head of crime intelligence. Mkhwanazi himself appears to have been similarly implicated. And lest we forget, Patricia Mashele, who has been well covered on BizNews over the last couple of years, the whistleblower who feared for her life and had to go into hiding for something like 18 months, she worked in the police services, blew the whistle, and she feared for her life. Patricia was mentioned in the police minister's affidavit. Also mentioned there, lest we forget, the two investigators at Fort Hare University. You'll recall they were brought into Fort Hare University, asked to find out about the corruption. When they started uncovering the corruption, they suddenly became the accused. And who arrived at their homes and arrested them with, well, dozens of, more than two dozen policemen, and put them onto a private jet, Nochal, to fly them to the hive where they were interrogated. Who did that? Mkhwanazi. He is behind it as well. So this is not the hero that many people assume he is. And as more and more information is coming out, we are starting to see a much clearer picture. What Dr. Redpath said, that this was a preemptive strike by him as he was about to also get arrested, does seem to have some credence. But we will wait, because we have the Madlanga Commission and an ad hoc committee in Parliament investigating all of this. Also on BizNews Premium today, you'll find a brilliant piece by R.W. Johnson on Africa. Essentially, he's saying that the propaganda about this being the Africa century could not have been more misplaced. In fact, Africa's going backwards at a rate of knots, primarily because of poor governance. Poor governance is translating into things like the inability of these countries to provide basics like electricity. 78% of companies in Africa complain of power cuts. And the bottom line, RWJ says, is that South Africa should be looking to Botswana to find out how to actually run a country successfully. It's a brilliant piece. I strongly recommend that you read it. Also on BizNews Premium today is a wonderful breakdown, a ranking of the best passports to own in the world. And the way it's worked is the number of visa-free countries that your passport gets you into. Top of the list is Singapore with 193, with South Korea, the second best, at 190, and Japan at 189. In fourth place is a batch of European countries with 188 countries, Germany, Italy, Luxembourg, Spain, and Switzerland. And then making up the top 10, Austria, Belgium, Denmark, Finland, France, Ireland, and the Netherlands, who are all ranked on 187. South Africa comes a long way down the list, and we are in company with just behind, well, quite a bit behind, in fact, the Russian Federation, Turkey, and then Qatar, and we're slightly ahead of a company called Belize, Ecuador, the Maldives, and Guyana, South American nations. Out of 106 countries that are ranked, We are about midway, and that puts us at position 53. In fact, exactly midway. So that green mamba, not really that valuable, unfortunately. Good story, a good one to go and have a look at. There's another good story which has just been published this afternoon, an interview that I did with Rainder Notter. He is an entrepreneur, a medical doctor, whose life mission is to provide low-cost medical aid. The problem that we have in South Africa is that many people who are employed at a particular level get free medical aid or subsidized medical aid from their companies. The problem is many other people who are employed at the same companies have absolutely nothing, zero, and they have to rely on state provision of hospital services. And that means if you get sick, you're going to be standing in a queue for a long time, probably the whole day. If you're lucky, you'll get some medicine at the end of the day. The South African medical system, the state's medical system, has collapsed and is in very, very dire straits in those areas where it does have some kind of a modicum of work. Perhaps not surprisingly, the ANC is doubling down. It's doubling down on some crazy things. BEE, it's doubling down on, even though we know that this economy has not grown for over a decade. The economy has grown at a slower rate than population. So we're all going backwards on a GDP per capita basis. But it's also doubling down on an unaffordable idea called national health insurance. Now the cynics and the skeptics will say this is just another way for the caterers to eat, because they have been eating. Remember what happened during COVID. Very, very happily from the public purse, especially when it comes to medical provision or medicines and hospitals, which aren't being terribly well provided for anyway. Rainder Notter has a 200 rand a month health plan through the National Health, his company called the National Healthcare Group. It's a fabulous alternative to NHI. There is a process. Of course, you can't get automatic entry into hospitals for 200 rand a month, but it does provide basic healthcare, which many people in South Africa, many employees in South Africa, do not have access to. There's a network of 3,000 GPs that the 200 rand a month price point opens up, and it certainly is something that you should be looking at. Please go and watch that interview. It is a way for members of the tribe to have a positive contribution against the implementation of national health insurance, rather than just complaining that it's a fait accompli and that the ANC will drive it through no matter what. Finally, for today, there was some concern for many people on the internet when Amazon Web Services was down. We don't know exactly why. It appears to have been some kind of internal coding that went a bit wonky, but it did show that there were big swaths of the internet that were unavailable. Not just websites, but also a number of the big software companies that rely on Amazon Web Services, which is the market leader in the provision of, the back end to the web. So it just shows that we are vulnerable as a species, and the whole idea of having everything in the cloud is also vulnerable. But that seems to be the efficiencies that we enjoy from it have offset the vulnerabilities in this atomic age that we now live in. Well, I'll be back again with you with another missive tomorrow. Until then, cheerio.